These are the last 20 minutes of your career where a patient will be able to ruin your shift by asking you for a refill of opioid medications. On your next shift, you're going to meet a patient who lost their bottle of oxycodone. They need you to give them a refill because their usual doctor is away on vacation, and they need their dose increased because their regular doctor was planning to do that anyways. And they need a shot of morphine before they go because they are in a lot of pain because you made them wait so long here in the emergency room. I say you're going to meet this patient on your next shift because in most emergency departments, you meet this patient on every shift. There is an epidemic of addiction to prescription drugs, and the emergency department is where these patients end up when their other options run out. Often, these are repeat visitors to our emergency rooms, patients we all know who arrive routinely requesting opiates, who we all think are abusing their medications. In general, we have no idea what to do with these patients. Do we give them a prescription? A few pills to get them out the door? Do we turn them away empty-handed? Do we just yell at them in our frustration and hope that the whole thing explodes so that we can finally reach some sort of conclusion? These patients frustrate us. They make us angry and sad. There are books and blogs devoted to ridiculing addicted patients. They are called drug seekers, frequent flyers, and heartsink patients. Many emergency doctors get upset just seeing the presenting patient complaint of prescription refill. But why? The truth is actually quite simple. All too often, we have no idea how to properly treat these patients. So no matter what we do, we worry that what we did was wrong, or even worse, that it was harmful. In the next 20 minutes, I'm going to teach you how to take care of patients coming to the emergency department with prescription drug addiction. That's right, this is the final 20 minutes of your career when a patient asking you for opioids will be able to ruin your day. I'm Dr. Aaron Johnston. I'm an emergency physician from Vancouver, Canada. I don't have any financial disclosures to make or any conflicts of interest to report, and all of the patient information that you hear today is anonymized. I want to tell you a story about one of the most important patients I have ever met. His name is Sam, and he's a small business owner in his mid-50s. I met Sam on a Friday when he came to my emergency department with indigestion. He was pale and sweaty and clutching his chest. His ECG showed that he was having an inferior STEMI. "Hi, Sam," I said. "I'm Dr. Johnston. I want to tell you that it looks like you're having a heart attack. Now, a lot of things are going to happen very quickly here, but I want you to know that we are going to take very good care of you and that I will explain everything to you as we go along." Sam looked up at me with disgust and said, "Bullshit. Can't you read? I told that nurse this was indigestion. I need some Maalox. You are the worst doctor I have ever met. Now get out of here." And so there we were, at a crossroads. Sam and I disagreed about what was going on and how to treat it. He had disparaged me, yelled at me, and generally been obnoxious when I tried to help him. So I had some choices to make. I could just give Sam some Maalox and get him out of the emerge. I could get into a big confrontation with him. Or I could do what we all do when we see a patient like this. Step back, reassess what has gone wrong, and try to fix things. Every emergency doctor has met a patient like Sam. He's having a heart attack, but he doesn't want to be, so he's belligerent and defensive. We are all skilled at saying, "Listen, I know this is scary, but you really are having a heart attack. This is why I think so, and here's what I think we should do about it." What's so important about Sam is that he behaved in pretty much the same way as one of my patients with addiction. Yet I was able to get things back on track with him and get him the treatment he needed. Why can't we get things back on track in the same way when we are caring for an addicted patient? First, there is no absolute evidence of addiction. There is no STEMI equivalent that cinches the diagnosis. Second, we often have personal feelings about addiction that we rarely have about other diagnoses. Finally, we understand how to treat a medical diagnosis like STEMI, but generally have no idea about how to treat addiction. And here is one of the first and most important points of my talk. Treat addiction just like any other medical problem. Consider the diagnosis, make the diagnosis, and then offer the patient the best treatment options that you can. Let's think about how we figure out who is a prescription drug addict. This is a major barrier to appropriate care because physicians are always worried about making the correct diagnosis. Many of us don't want to bring up the subject of addiction before the diagnosis is definitively proven. But there really is no definitive proof that we can latch onto in the emergency department. The DSM-IV definition of substance use disorder is a useful and enlightening definition. It highlights many of the maladaptive behaviors associated with addiction, but it is too long for any emergency doctor to remember. So let's make it simpler. Number one, going to an emergency department and asking for a large supply of opioids is not a normal behavior. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who arrives and asks us for opioids has an addiction problem, but it's a red flag, and it should raise the possibility of the diagnosis. When a person is addicted to a substance, they start to overuse the substance. As this happens, they need to find ways to acquire more and more of the substance. In order to do this, they devote more and more of their time, money, and other resources towards obtaining the substance. As this occurs, their family life, employment situation, and social relationships start to fall apart. This is true no matter if the substance is alcohol or prescription opioids. When we are talking about prescription opioids, one of the relationships that often breaks down is the relationship between the patient and the physician who has been treating their pain and providing their medications. Perhaps the prescribing physician brought up the issue of addiction, or perhaps identified that the patient was using the medications inappropriately. When this happens, and an addicted patient's supply is cut back or cut off, the patient turns to the nearest alternative source of prescriptions, the emergency department. People with addiction have a pattern of escalating and maladaptive drug use, and we in the emergency department are part of that escalating pattern. When I am worried that a patient may have an addiction to prescription opioids, I ask myself these three questions. Number one, does the story add up? Number two, do the pills add up? Number three, is there obvious evidence of medication-related harm? If the story is unbelievable, the most important thing that you can do is sit quietly and listen while it unravels itself. An unbelievable story about medication loss, theft, or animal ingestion, accompanied by a request for a large amount of medication or an increased dose of medication, is a sign that things are not right. Many jurisdictions now have computerized drug databases that allow us to assess if the pills add up. Is the patient taking more medication than prescribed, more frequently than prescribed, or getting prescriptions from many different physicians? Again, these are major red flags. Are there track marks on the skin or nasal erosions due to parenteral use? Have there been traffic accidents while the patient was using medication? Has the patient lost their job, family, home, or license as a result of drug use? These are red flags that the patient has an addiction problem. There is no definitive scan or test for addiction, but that's not really a problem. We're emergency physicians. We act in the absence of certainty all of the time. Addiction is a serious and sometimes lethal condition. We do not need absolute certainty to identify the condition or to initiate appropriate treatment. When the clinical suspicion of addiction is high, we should follow this path because the consequences to our patient are also high. But, you might say, I don't want to undertreat pain, and I can't figure out who has legitimate pain and who has addiction. That's a great point. We need to consider and treat pain in the emergency department. I am not saying that we have to act as if everyone with a pain problem really has addiction, and when we aren't sure, we should probably err on the side of treating pain. That said, short-acting opioid medications are rarely a part of a rational medication regime for the treatment of chronic continuous pain. But if you are really worried, perhaps you can start by confining this approach to those patients who have obvious addiction problems, such as patients with active intravenous drug use. Remember, addiction to prescription opioids is a condition with a poor prognosis and a high mortality rate. The US CDC estimates that deaths from prescription drug overdose now exceed deaths from motor vehicle accidents. This is a condition that frequently presents to emergency departments. We have an opportunity to identify this condition and intervene. Treating prescription opioid addiction, just like any other condition, is good for patients and good for doctors. Lots of emergency physicians tell me they don't know anything about addiction treatment and that they don't want to learn anything about addiction treatment. "I don't want to be an addictions doctor" is a refrain I have heard many times. This lack of knowledge is a major barrier in offering patients with addiction appropriate treatment. When I started in emergency medicine, I didn't want to know anything about hematochezia because, let's be honest, that is a gross situation. But patients with GI bleeds kept showing up anyways. Maybe they didn't hear that hematochezia wasn't something I liked to deal with. Or maybe they were just inconsiderate, but they kept showing up. So I had to learn about GI bleeds anyways, whether I liked it or not, because it was a basic part of emergency medicine practice. Addiction is no different. We don't have to be experts in addiction or addictions doctors, but we need to know a little bit about it because the patients just keep showing up. The good news is that addiction treatment for the emergency physician is pretty straightforward. All you need to know are your local detox center's phone number, your local addiction counseling services phone number, and a list of local Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And that's it. The emergency department treatment of addiction consists of identifying the diagnosis, naming the diagnosis, and sending the patient to the appropriate expert resources. It's just like any other condition in emergency medicine. We identify the diagnosis, begin the treatment, and refer to the appropriate specialist. A question that always comes up is, should I give the patient a few pills to go if they agree to go to treatment or detox? I think that the answer is no, and the real question is, would you give my patient Sam Maalox? Giving the patient a few pills to go, whether or not they agree to addictions treatment, is not helpful and is probably harmful to the patient. Patients with addiction are in a difficult position. One of the most basic motivators for treatment is the physical discomfort of the addiction process. While I am not suggesting that we allow patients with addiction to go through needless suffering, I am suggesting that the primary motivation for actually showing up at a detox center is that the patient is actually detoxing. A patient walking to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting can be derailed by the presence of a bar along the way, and the best laid plans of a patient with a prescription opioid addiction may be derailed by a few pills in their pocket. Let's talk about how to actually make this happen with a real patient. First, take this conversation to an appropriate setting. All too often, patients with addiction are seen in hallways or public places where they are told no to their request for a prescription and shamed in public. We try not to see other patients in hallways, and since we actually want to help these patients, we should offer them the same courtesy. Let's imagine that your next patient is in the emergency room asking for a prescription for morphine 100 milligram extended release tablets. The patient tells you that he is always on these for back pain, but he has run out. He tells you that he uses 3 tablets 3 times a day, plus an extra tablet here and there if the pain is bad. You say, and let the story continue. It turns out that the patient has run out of pills 2 weeks early. He says because some of his pills fell into the toilet. A search on your pharmaceutical database reveals multiple filled prescriptions in the last 2 weeks from multiple emergency departments, including 20 tablets dispensed just yesterday from a local pharmacy. Physical examination reveals lumbar scars and diffuse tenderness, as well as bilateral recent track marks on the arms. The patient is restless, and he has stigmata of opioid withdrawal. we can probably all agree that this patient has evidence of addiction. The traditional approach with this patient is to call them out on their addiction, often in a public place like a hallway, and, declaring that you won't give them a prescription today, throw them out of your emergency department. This approach is successful in getting the patient out of your department without a prescription, but in all likelihood, the addicted patient in this scenario just moves along to a different hospital or a different clinic and starts the process all over again. I advocate a different approach. First, take the history and examination somewhere private. This is a courtesy we afford all of our patients, and it lets the patient know that we are taking their visit seriously. Next, do a real history and examination. Finally, tell the patient what your medical opinion is and offer treatment options. When I tell a patient that I think they have addiction, this is what I like to say. I know you came here today for something simple, a prescription refill, but a much more serious medical problem is going on. I think that you are addicted to these pills. Somewhere along the way, you got started onto these pills, and the pills took over, and now you're dealing with an addiction. The patient will usually heat up at this point and become defensive or angry. Your job is to stay calm and stick to your diagnosis. Once the patient starts to calm down or wear out, offer to help with their problem. I often tell the patient, "I can understand why you are upset. When I see a patient with any problem, my job is to sort it out and offer the best treatment I can. I'd like to help you get some help for your addiction." If the patient heats up again, I use something I call the good person gambit. "You know," I say, "a lot of doctors might just say no to the prescription and move on, but you seem like you are a really good person, and I'd like to help you." Often these patients might not seem like good people at all, but say this to them anyways. Telling the patient that you think that they are a good person helps to move the focus onto the addiction and off of the patient. Once you have told the patient that you think they are a good person, you have also made it much more difficult for them to be rude to you or to throw away your advice out of hand. Even if the patient does not want help today, identifying their problem, addiction, and offering to help them out in the context that they are a good person with a serious disease tends to stick with people. Even if they don't want your help today, they may change their mind and get some help tomorrow if you present things well. The patient may disagree with you about the diagnosis and demand a prescription. In this case, I suggest that you stick to your diagnosis. Tell the patient that you understand that they disagree with you, but that your job is to give each patient the best care that you can. And in these circumstances, with the problem of addiction, the care you can offer is referral to addictions resources. Often the patient will still disagree with you. At this point, a useful strategy is to write your name down for the patient or give them one of your business cards. Tell them, "Listen, I know that we disagree today, but if you ever want some help with your addiction in the future, if you ever change your mind, come and see me, and I will be happy to help you." Everyone who hears this last part initially believes that this is a passive-aggressive way to keep these patients from coming back on your shifts. And indeed, these patients are unlikely to see you for an opioid prescription again. But after a few months of doing this, you will start to get the occasional patient who comes back to the emergency room and specifically asks to see you to ask for help. When these patients come back, go to bat for them, call around, get them a detox bed. They are motivated, and you can help them. And because addiction to prescription opioids is a disease with a poor prognosis and a high mortality rate, helping these patients is as good and gratifying as picking up a subtle STEMI. Let's summarize. First of all, addiction to prescription opioids is important to identify and treat because it is a condition with a poor prognosis and a high mortality rate. Second, suspect addiction when the story doesn't add up, the pills don't add up, or there is obvious evidence of abuse or harm. Third, be nice to the patient. Tell them that you think they are a good person with a bad problem and offer to help. Fourth, be kind but firm. Offer help with addiction, but do not negotiate on giving a few opioid pills. Finally, feel good about treating the patient kindly and offering appropriate help. Remember, this approach is about treating these patients just like any other patient and giving them the best care possible. You will be stressed out when you first try this approach, but over time, you will find that this approach allows you to see these patients without any additional stress and that this approach actually helps the underlying problem instead of just moving the patient along to a different hospital or clinic. I'm Aaron Johnston. You can find me on emergesource.com and on Twitter at Aaron Johnston. Thanks for taking the time to listen, and I hope that this approach to managing the patient addicted to prescription opioids is helpful in your emergency practice.